Jeff.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report come to us from KXEL. And of course, Jeff Stein is the person who's put forward the conspiracy theory that January 6th was all just the worst Cirque du Soleil performance you'll ever see. Hi, Jeff.
You just can't get your tickets at the discount vendor and expect to see a quality show.
Where are the guys on the polls? Well, oh, there they are. All right. They're not using them right, though.
By the way,
yes,
wearing a t-shirt. I appreciate your support of the effort.
Well, of course, this is a t-shirt. I'm wearing a t-shirt from, this is a fundraiser your station did a few years ago for the storms that came through and did a tremendous amount of damage in Iowa.
Yeah, the derechos in August of that year that came through. And derecho was a term nobody really knew, and now we've had, I guess, two or maybe three, depending on how you count them, in a three-year period. So no, the weather's not changing at all. But yes, you were kind enough to share information about the fundraiser, and we distributed thousands of dollars to people in rural areas in Iowa adversely affected. So again, I thank you for that, and I thank you for pulling that out of the closet today.
No problem. I will say this: tornadoes in Minnesota in December of last year. Yeah. So that's all you need. Yeah, you tell me things are normal. Yeah, right. Okay, so you want my two things that tell me that the Republicans are terrified about what's about to happen tomorrow night. It's twofold. One is the frantic screaming that there is nothing to see here. Very Frank Drebin in front of the exploding fireworks factory. You know, there's nothing to see here. Go home. Nothing here. The other thing is
Frank Drebin reference.
Oh,
you're
God.
Making a Frank Drebin reference.
There you go. Drebin is great. Police squad. The other thing that I notice is that every story that can possibly be hyped is, I mean, my God, we have a Hunter Biden caravan heading for the border where they're screaming gay, 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 and they're here to take your guns. I mean, it's, oh my God, they are desperately throwing, and they usually throw a lot at the wall to hope something sticks. They are throwing everything at the wall because I think the reality is they know there is actual evidence here that's not going to be easy for anyone to counterpoint.
So you were watching Newsmax this afternoon then?
No, what was on Newsmax?
No, I don't know what you were quoting about Hunter Biden and a horde
the Hunter Biden caravan. It's all a bunch of clones of Hunter Biden coming in from Venezuela with a ghost. You know, that's it. Yeah, it's everything there.
It's a tough one for Republicans in this respect. If they pay attention to it, then in their mind, they're giving credence to it. If they don't pay attention to it and hope that Americans on a summer evening in June are doing other things or are worried about pocketbook issues as opposed to January 6th, well, then they could be missing an opportunity to rebut things. So, I mean, it's a tough one because if you say that it has no weight, it has no evidence, it has no merit, well, then why are you talking about it? It just shows then that you potentially are worried about it. Fox has already said they're not going to carry it, but to be fair, they don't carry a lot of breaking news when their highest rated shows are on.
And also should mention many of their evening hosts are actually implicated in some of the correspondence, the text that we've seen from Mark Meadows, that there was some knowledge that they had of what was going on there too. So I think that there's also an element here to try to cover themselves by trying to scream about Hunter Biden caravans.
You know, if I'm Hannity or Carlson, you know, maybe I'm taking Thursday night off, even if they're going to run the show. I mean, that's the juxtaposition of that alone is kind of odd, right?
Yes.
That you're on, you know, I have Dish Network because I live in the country, and so that's how I get my TV. Channel 200 CNN, Channel 205's Fox News, back and forth I go. It might be Hannity on both channels, in which case you'd want to kind of minimize it. What will be interesting to me is if channels like Newsmax or America's Voice, whatever these channels are, if they start carrying it, that then becomes more interesting. But if there is an entire right-wing media blackout on it, then I guess everybody got the same talking point that morning.
OAN, I think, is the one you're talking about there. The
there is that one. There's Real America's Voice. Yes. I mean, there are. I don't see them. I don't have them on my system. But I'm sure that if you open up a flip phone, you can probably watch them somewhere.
It should be noted that, and we've talked about this before, and now we're not talking about, you know, Trump is not about to be thrown out of office. He's already out of office. But we've had, I mean, when I go back to Nixon, 2 days before he was, I think it was 2 days or 3 days before he resigned. He actually was a rally in Indiana, and it was packed to the gills, still a fervent support for him. Many Republicans, after his resignation, screamed how it was unjustified, that he should have still been in office, though the Washington Post was all just a bunch of liberal liars. And, they there was a lot of animosity. So it's not as if, I mean, there's, I think, a tendency when we look back on history to think things go cleanly. There's always going to be the people that are under scrutiny screaming how it's just political, that this is liberal agenda, all these sort of things. But once again, it comes down to we have the evidence. It becomes very difficult for people to, I mean, I think people like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think Jim Jordan, stuff like that, they're going to basically just go silent, because if it comes out that they were implicated in knowing that this was going to happen, what can they say outside of running to Fox News and screaming it's all a bunch of lies, but then trying to shut everyone else out? Jeff?
I'm right here.
Oh, there you are. Oh, there you go. Hello. There you go. There you go. Please go ahead.
No, there was a hiccup on this end, but I got the gist of what you were saying. Look, there's not much they can do except say, look over here at the Hunter Biden caravan or whatever. I mean, say, here's the dictionary definition of insurrection, and how's that gas at the pump treating you? I mean, about the only thing you can do, Matt, is to deflect, right? I mean, I don't know how else you defend, because I'll tell you, those that are speaking are doing so at great risk of prosecution. And chief among them is Peter Navarro, who still has never met a camera or a microphone that he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, this is uncharted territory. We already know that. But the fact that this hearing is being held literally within, 10 days of the Watergate burglary 50th anniversary is incredible to me. I don't know.
Well, it's been interesting that you've started seeing people put it into perspective. This is the first time in American history that you had a president try to overthrow the results of an election. Now, we could go back to Grant and Rutherford B. Hayes's election. I mean, there clearly were some shenanigans there. But nothing, I mean, as one person said, it's the biggest strike on the U.S. Capitol since the War of 1812. And and you might want to roll your eyes and say that it is, but it's the truth. I mean, what's going to happen is we're going to come pretty darn close to saying, if not for Mike Pence, this country might be a very different landscape right now than it was back then. And I don't know, frankly, I still think to myself that the U.S. military and corporate America, who does not want to see this country get shaken up too bad, would have immediately gone to the Republicans and said, you need to basically put Joe Biden back in office because he won this election, or else you guys are done. I think that was basically, you know, I think that would have happened. But the reality is the way things played out, if not for Mike Pence, that this would be a very different country right now, because they had enough people that were willing to go along with the fraud to justify overturning the election.
There was so much that happened that day that we still don't know about. And I worry that some people got swept up that shouldn't have been swept up. That being said, that's a small little part of it. Any violence upon a government building of any kind is inappropriate. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care what purpose they have. The fact that Mike Pence stood the ground he did continues to this day to maintain a high public profile in Republican politics with the stance he took and the fact that he's still invited to speak places, I think that gives you a hint of where there is a large pocket of folks. They may not like Pence himself, but they like what he did. They are still supporting him because, again, it's sort of the redemption tour. But that gives you some suggestion of where the party might go post-Trump, whether that's in 2023, if he does not run, or 2024 after that general election.
The Proud Boys, we had, five members of the Proud Boys that were indicted on sedition, which is a pretty dang serious charge at this point, and tells me that if you're bringing that charge, you've got pretty much the evidence you feel as if to prove the case. We know the pieces. You and I have talked about this for a year and a half now. We know the pieces. We know Roger Stone was talking. We know he was talking to Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. Roger Stone's a direct communication to the White House. Rudy Giuliani was talking with Roger Stone. It was part of that headquarters area in the hotels, which, by the way, were one or two ballrooms down from where these Proud Boys and guys were organizing. That there were discussions beforehand. I mean, Secret Service was saying, hey, by the way, you guys know there's something's going on here tomorrow. People knew this was coming. We now are getting transcripts that people 4 or 5 days beforehand were referring to what was going to happen on January 6th. This, we know all the pieces. This is what I'm going to presume is going to happen on Thursday, is the connect the dots is going to happen. And here we got from point A to point B, from the White House down to the Proud Boys, how everything got there.
There's no point of having a primetime hearing unless you intend to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
You can look back at historic events in Congress. Again, Watergate, impeachment of Clinton, impeachment of Trump. These hearings that were held were never scheduled for primetime. The Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings, another example. Some of those hearings extended into the evening hours, but they were never scheduled in primetime. That, to me, is a huge thing. And it either means that the Democrats are going way over their skis, or else they've got something that they really want to make sure no one misses.
And here's, and by the way,
thing that I can't figure out in tied to that, though.
What?
Who released the information that they hired the former president of ABC News to, quote, produce the event? Why was that announced at all? Because all you did was give the people on the right the chance to dismiss it as Hollywood. Why was that even mentioned?
Well,
a hearing and it convenes at 8 o'clock Eastern.
It's because, and I'll say this about bringing in something else. Who is the actor that went over to talk at the White House yesterday?
Matthew McConaughey.
When he's out
the pop culture guy all of a sudden.
Well, no,
you're
just
the pop culture.
I know. I am sorry. My bad. But McConaughey goes out there and he's talking about the gun violence, and the Newsmax guy goes after him. The Fox News person goes after him. He was from Uvalde, and so he does definitely have a relationship here. And just to dismiss it as saying, you know, I think what they're saying is they're doing this. Now, I understand what you're saying. And trust me, any Republican looking for a toehold on that cliff to basically be able to scream illegitimate is there. Here's where the problem comes in. I guarantee you, Kitzinger and Cheney would not be going along with this if they thought this was truly just a dog and pony show and thought that this was just a bunch of Republican lies or Democratic lies, liberal lies made up. Cheney herself has been clearly livid at what has been discovered here going on. And I think there's and as at the end of the day, the only answer the Republicans have to Kitzinger and Cheney is they're not really Republicans. But the reality is they are Republicans. They're on this committee, and they haven't like run from this committee hearing saying, oh, I'm done with this because these guys are just making stuff up. As a matter of fact, some of the comments coming out have become the harshest comments coming out have come from them.
Well, here's the thing. There is nothing more dangerous than someone who is not running for re-election and hates your guts. That'd be Kitzinger, right? He's not running for re-election. What does he have to lose? Cheney is so far behind, and that doesn't mean that she won't win, because especially if crossovers, okay, that name still means an awful lot in that state. And if, in fact, she looks at her political career being torpedoed because of this and the Trump factor, well, of course she's going to strike out twice as hard. So they're not going to do anything that doesn't go in line with what they have discovered. The vehemence under which they're taking it, or by which they're taking it, that does tell you that, yeah, they've got an axe to grind, but they've got a pretty big axe. And that's the key to this whole thing, is if, in fact, things are just being laid out very methodically. This is the trick on this. The connecting the dots cannot get caught in the weeds. It has got to be elemental PowerPoint-type bullet points.
Yep.
So that it is unmistakable. And then all you have are people who say, yeah, but did you see what gas prices are?
If
okay, that's what you need.
Well, and you're in the real question here is this. If they do that, if they do the good connect the dots, how many Republican congressional people and senators are going to be dragged into this? And all of a sudden, because, as you know, it's clear some of them were involved. And all of a sudden you're going to have, if you all of a sudden you have 20 House Republicans and five House senators or Republican senators that are out there, you know, definitively, oh, here's their text message saying, see you at the riot. You know, it's if you've got that kind of evidence against them, where does the Republican Party go with that? Because now all of a sudden you've got candidates on your ballot who basically try to overthrow the government.
See you at the riot.
See you. These guys are not smart. Sure, they might not say that in there, but they pretty much
have said it. What do you use after see you at the riot? I'm just not sure I have that on my phone, and that's probably good that I don't. But no, this is the thing. Now notice what happened. I don't have the name. There was a New York member of Congress, Republican, running for re-election. He dared to speak in public.
Oh, Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo guy.
You know, maybe we should do something about guns. The backlash was so severe, he had to drop out of the race. So I get a sense that, and this is the opposite side of it, but I have a feeling that those who are controlling the party at the moment will cut loose anybody who is in any way a risk to drag down the whole ticket, the whole party. And so you might find a surprising amount of cut bait, right, on some of these people. It's interesting, though, you notice that Kevin McCarthy is not going to be prosecuted for contempt of Congress.
Yeah, I saw that.
I find that interesting because it suggests a narrowing, if you will.
Definitive, like Navarro, definitively him. Yeah, no, there's something there. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is, the net of members of Congress who may be involved may not be cast as broadly as you might think, but it might. All you need are two or three really key names, and that changes, Matt, the whole narrative.
Yeah, very much. We got to take a break. We'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us on a Wednesday. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, you can watch Stein. It's on the live stream of the show. Go to Facebook, go to AM 950 Radio or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. You can watch us there. It's double your pleasure. Now, Jeff, here is the strategy for the Republicans. If you won't really, if I was them, okay. Hide Trump's phones, keep him, take him to Antarctica and lock him in a shed for about a month. Okay, just get him out of the way. Don't have him demanding people defend him. Don't have him going out there and making any statements whatsoever. The Republican Party gets really quiet. And even if there is, oh my God, did you see what they uncovered? There clearly was this conspiracy. What the Republicans know, and this is kind of what you're alluding to, is that Democratic outrage lasts basically about a month. And then it starts going away. And so they could end up just basically by being quiet, not saying a thing about it. Then all of a sudden comes September 1st. It's like, why are you guys still talking about January 6th? We're moving on to other issues. And considering the fact that outrage in the Democratic Party just does not seem to last, and a lot of Democrats don't have the courage, frankly, to go on out there and say, lock them up. that basically they're saying, yeah, we'll weather this just fine.
And now the former president is summering in New Jersey. There's a sentence that I just don't even know. Whatever. But he's spending the summer in New Jersey.
Is he? Did they just announce that?
Yeah, the other day. It's like he's moved to Bedminster for the summer. I don't know. I
mean, makes it easy for the Manhattan DA.
I did not. It's more convenient. And again, that message had a little riot emoji afterwards.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, that way. But no, you're exactly right. And this is what's interesting about this. Apparently, this is going to be the first of a series of hearings, perhaps depending on how well received they are by the public. I just don't know why it's now. If you did this after Labor Day, of course you're going to be accused of October surprise, but facts is facts. And instead, what's going to happen is you're going to divide the Democrat anger because they're going to have this hearing, and then what'll happen next week? Roe will be overturned. Nobody will remember this hearing. It's sort of like maybe you need to take care of one thing before the next thing and stagger it so that you don't run out of energy. Because I think you're right. The anger only goes so long.
Here's the thing. The Republicans, if they were running this, if this was the opposite way, they'd have primetime hearings. They'd have 8 investigations going on. It'd be going every day until the election. And then they just stop talking about it like Hillary's emails. That's kind of why they're doing it. But I agree with you. I think the Democrats better have the goods, because if they don't, this is not going to look too good for them. But frankly, I think they got the goods. Jeff's books are at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. We'll talk next week, Jeff. I'll post all this later in hour 2 up next.